Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, reading today from the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 31st, 2015. We'll continue now with the death notices. From Rochester, Benjamin Kern Darnell. Benjamin Kern Darnell, 21, of Rochester, died near Farson, Wyoming, August 24th, 2015, as a result of injuries sustained from an automobile accident. Receiving of family and friends will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. Ben's celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. Both services will be at the church that Ben grew up attending and where he was baptized, Rochester United Methodist Church, 555 South Walnut, Rochester, Illinois. A catered lunch will be served after the memorial at the cemetery. In lieu of flowers, a Benjamin K. Darnell Memorial Scholarship Fund at the DePaul University School of Music Brass Department will be established. Memorial donations to the Scholarship Fund may be contributed at both services, or memorial donors may send their gifts to DePaul University Advancement Gift Processing, 1 East Jackson Boulevard, Chicago 60604. Monica Ann Demascal of Pena. Monica Ann Demascal, 48, formerly of Assumption, died August 28, 2015, in Park Place, Pena, Illinois. Funeral Mass will be at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, September 2, 2015, in St. Mary's Catholic Church, Assumption, Illinois. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 1, 2015, in Sites Funeral Home, Assumption, Illinois. Burial will be in St. Mary's Cemetery, Assumption. Memorials may be made to Park Place of Pena, Illinois. Leland W. Personet, Decatur. Leland W. Personet, 70, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, August 29, 2015, at his home. A service to celebrate his life will be held at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, September 2, 2015, at the Salvation Army at 229 West Main Street, Decatur, Illinois. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until service time. Burial will be in Mackville Cemetery, Atwood, Illinois, on Thursday, September 3, 2015, at 11 a.m. with military rites provided by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials can be made to the Salvation Army. John C. Allen, Decatur. John Jack C. Allen, 90, of Decatur, passed away on Tuesday, August 25, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A service to celebrate his life will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, September 2, 2015, at First Baptist Church, Decatur, with military rites by the Macon County Honor Guard following the service. Visitation will be from 10 o'clock a.m. until service time. Private family burial will take place at Camp Butler National Cemetery at a later date. Memorials can be made to the First Baptist Church or to Millikan University. Gladys Haynes. Gladys Haynes, Shelbyville. Gladys Haynes, 75, of Shelbyville, passed away at 2:20 a.m. Friday, August 28, 2015, at Shelbyville Manor. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, August 31st, 2015, in the Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Shelbyville. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. until the time of service at 11 a.m. on Monday. Burial will be at the Glenwood Cemetery, Shelbyville. Memorials may be made to the St. Paul Lutheran Church, Shelbyville. Marguerite Eloise Pauline Petzl Cravens, Decatur. Marguerite Eloise Pauline Petzl Cravens, age 100, passed away at 4:05 p.m. Friday, August 28, 2015. Funeral services will be on Friday, September 4, 2015, at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Central Christian Church in Decatur, Illinois. Visitation will be from noon to 2 o'clock p.m. Memorial services will be held at the First Christian Church, 6400 North University in Peoria, Illinois, on Saturday, September 5, 2015, at 11 a.m. Burial will be in Hall Cemetery, Blue Mound, Illinois. Memorials may be made to Central Christian Church, Decatur, Illinois. Dorothy Seymour of Decatur. Dorothy Seymour, 77, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, August 29, 2015, in St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. Graveside service to celebrate Dorothy's life will be at 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday, September 3rd, 2015, in Bowling Springs Cemetery. Anthony Joseph Vicone II, Decatur. Anthony Joseph Vicone II, 82, of Decatur, passed away Thursday, August 27, 2015, at Eastview Terrace in Sullivan. Mass of Christian burial to celebrate Tony's life will be 11 a.m. Monday, August 31st, 2015, at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church, 2160 North Edward Street in Decatur. Visitation will be for 1 hour prior to the Mass at the church. Burial with military honors will be in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to St. Patrick School Tuition Assistance. Charles G. Weeks, Decatur. Charles G. Weeks, 77, of Decatur, went to be with the Lord on Wednesday, August 26, 2015, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Funeral services celebrating his life will be at 11 a.m. Monday, August 31, 2015, in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be 10 o'clock to 11 a.m. Monday in the funeral home. Burial will be in Mount Zion Township Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Argenta Baptist Church. The family requests casual attire. And now more news from the local page. Hickory Point firefighters fill the boot for MDA. This article from Forsyth, written by Allison Petty. As they raised money for a good cause Saturday, the volunteers from Hickory Point Fire Protection District also got a good workout. Ever try to lift a boot full of money, including a lot of coins? It's hefty. But the firefighters were happy to take on the weight as they walked between vehicles on US 51 near Hickory Point Mall. The effort was part of the annual Fill the Boot fundraiser for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and their goal this year is to raise $13,000. "We've always enjoyed doing this," said Chief Dennis Downey. "It helps MDA and gets us out into the community and lets people know firefighters do other things besides medical calls and fire calls." Firefighters stood on all corners of the intersection from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and are slated to return from noon to 4 p.m. yesterday, August 30th. John Durney, fundraising coordinator for the association's Central Illinois office, said the Hickory Point Department has raised close to $30,000 from the events over the past 3 years. "The money stays in the region," he said. "The organization assists 61 families in Macon County who suffer from muscular dystrophy, a group of diseases that cause progressive weakness and muscle loss. The money helps pay for costly clinic visits, medical equipment repairs, and even flu shots, because preventing influenza is critical for a person with neuromuscular disease, Durney said. It also sends children affected by muscular dystrophy to a week-long camp in Hudson, where they are not limited by the effects of the disease. It's a totally adaptive camp, Durney said. Families get a respite for a week. The kids get out there and they get to be kids, so it's no more you can't or restrictions. In general, residents of the Decatur area are very generous and kind, said Captain Matt Harding, who coordinated the effort. They often thank the firefighters for their service and their efforts to help, or ask questions if they are unfamiliar with the cause. A few drivers make the exception. There are people who are not very polite, he said diplomatically, but we just smile and wave. Texas Roadhouse also provided lunch to the firefighters. Durney said he works with 13 fire departments across the region who raise about $7,500 a year on average. He praised the culture of Hickory Point as a key aspect of the department's success in surpassing that number. Firefighters who'd been serving for more than 10 years were working the intersections, along with rookies who were there for the first time Saturday. These guys do it because it means something to them, he said. And from Decatur, an article entitled Needs Conflict Over Aldi's, written by Allison Petty. Potential neighbors of a new Aldi store on West Ash Avenue say they worry the development will worsen traffic problems and hurt the neighborhood where many have lived for decades. Developers, meanwhile, said the store will be designed to prevent cars from stacking up as they try to enter and will feature attractive landscaping and unobtrusive lighting. The location near the intersection with U.S. Business 51 is desirable because of its high visibility and traffic count, and failure to secure this site could mean that Aldi would move to Forsyth instead. The two sides will come to a head at the Decatur Plan Commission meeting 3 p.m. Thursday in the Decatur Civic Center. The commission will consider a recommendation to rezone the 1.88-acre site, with the Decatur City Council having the final say later in September. Under the plan, Aldi would leave its store on Pershing Road and build a roughly 18,000-square-foot store with 86 parking spaces in the area between West Ash and West Oak Lane. Owners of five houses and one vacant lot on the property have agreed to sell, said Mike Roche, director of real estate for Aldi. Customer vehicles would enter and exit the parking lot from West Ash Avenue. About 12 delivery trucks a week would access the store through an entrance on West Oak, Roche said. Our goal here is to be a good neighbor for the subdivision, he said. Roche, engineers, and other representatives of the development met with about 30 residents at the nearby Monocle's Pizza on Thursday to explain the plans and answer questions. Our biggest concern is the neighborhood and the traffic, said Mackie Spurlock, who lives in the 500 block of West Ash. The traffic cannot get any worse on this street. It just can't. Spurlock said so many cars travel down the street, often at high rates of speed, that she will sometimes stand in her yard to help direct visitors as they back out of the driveway. She's been rear-ended there, too. Several of the neighbors worry the line of cars at the intersection would back up on West Ash. They said they've counted lines of vehicles in the teens stopped there at various times of day. Traffic consulting firm Koenig Lendgren O'Hara Abuna Inc. conducted a study of the area. Eric Russell, a principal partner, said the firm concluded that backups would not pose a problem, particularly if road striping and signs indicated that cars should not block the entrance to the parking lot. From the volumes that we know Aldi generates, there's not going to be a delay as long as people can get into the property. It's very common on collector streets to have that kind of signage, he said. A left turn lane would be added on West Ash, which would require the elimination of several on-street parking spaces in front of neighboring houses. With Walmart, Walgreens, and a variety of restaurants, the area now draws thousands of people to shop and dine. However, many of the residents moved to the neighborhood long before it was across the road from a retail hotbed. James Forbes built his home in 1958 in an area so spacious he even owned a pony. "I thought, oh, I'm going to be out in the country," he said. Pam Ambo moved to the neighborhood in 1977 when it was surrounded by cornfields. "If I wanted to live next to a store, it would have been my choice," she said. The neighbors say they are not opposed to the Aldi development specifically, but to any rezoning that would allow business to encroach further on the neighborhood. More than 40 people signed a petition in protest, said Julie Bresnan, whose home is in the 100 block of West Ash Avenue. In addition to the traffic and quality of life concerns, residents worry the development could hurt their property values and ability to sell their homes. "Just find a different location," Bresnan said. "We're not trying to tell Aldi not to build. We just don't want to rezone our area." But Roche said the company wants to locate a new, larger store somewhere along U.S. Business 51 between Target and Menards. He said Aldi has been in Decatur since 1993 and enjoys being part of the community. "Our goal has been to stay in the city of Decatur," he said, "but if it's not approved, we'll continue to expand our search and really try and find a place somewhere north or south on US 51. We would be open to opportunities in Forsyth as well." In a memo to the Plan Commission members, Decatur City staff recommended approval of the rezoning, provided that the company agreed to certain conditions. Those conditions include an agreement that the developer make improvements to intersection areas on Ash Avenue that would be deemed necessary if additional traffic generated by the store causes problems at the intersection with U.S. Business 51. The only permitted use for the planned development would be a grocery store. Final site, landscaping, and lighting plans would need to be approved by several city departments before building permits would be released. Ed Flynn, an attorney representing the developers, said the new Aldi would be a high-profile store that is expected to generate more sales than the current location. "That means more sales tax revenue for the city," he said. Opponents of the rezoning hope that those who agree with them will make their presence known at the Plan Commission and council meetings. "If they want to have a store, we're not against that," said Bonnie Hart, who has lived in her home for 49 years. "But don't come in and ruin a neighborhood to put up a store when we've got all those vacant buildings sitting around in other parts of the city." An article written by Teresa Churchill from Decatur. Knabe, leaving heritage for state mental health post. Illinois ranks in the bottom quarter of all states when it comes to spending on mental health services for its citizens. Diana Knabe, president and CEO of Heritage Behavioral Health Center for the past 13 years, hopes to improve on that after she becomes director of the Division of Mental Health under the Illinois Department of Human Services on September 9th. "This is obviously a passion of mine after staying in the provider world for 29 years, she said. "I'd like to try to make some differences at the state level." Candace Clevenger, the agency's chief financial officer, will take over as president and CEO on September 14th. Human Services Secretary James Demas praised Knabe's lifelong dedication to improving lives, deep understanding of behavioral health systems, and her commitment to integrated care in an email announcing the appointment to his staff. Born in Tuscola, Knabe grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where she earned a master's degree in social work from Western Michigan University in 1986. In 1993, she followed former Heritage CEO Grady Wilkinson to Decatur from Van Buren County Mental Health Services in Paw Paw, Michigan, and was Vice President of Client Services and Chief Operating Officer in 2002 when she was promoted to Wilkinson's position after he left to take another job back in Michigan. Her accomplishments at Heritage include helping to create supportive housing and, more recently, transitional housing for people with mental illnesses after the closure of the former Adolf Meyer Mental Health Center in Decatur in 1995. She also raised the agency's public profile through monthly Seeds of Hope forums over the past decade, helping start Macon County Mental Health Court in 2010, and 4 years ago instituted a wellness program to help clients improve their physical health. A native of Huntington, West Virginia, Clevenger earned a Master's of Business Administration from James Madison University in Harrisburg, Virginia, and has worked at Heritage Behavioral Health Center for 25 years. I would like to continue to improve the quality and integration with healthcare of mental health care, Clevenger said. She's also looking forward to being back in the Decatur School District through a pilot project to provide mental health first aid as a result of school shootings across the nation. Funding for the $1.9 million project AWARE at three school districts in Illinois is coming to Decatur through the State Board of Education from the United States Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And an article written by Chris Husvardi, staff writer for the Herald and Review, FAIR shows Richland students how to get involved. Shannon Lyons has wanted to take an active role on campus while a student at Richland Community College in Decatur. As Lyons prepares for her last semester at the school, she feels a sense of fulfillment having gotten involved with such groups as Helping People Out Everywhere, or HOPE. It's inspiring to see what people at Richland are doing, Lyons said. Students feel fulfilled and motivated after leaving Richland to do good work. HOPE was one of the organizations providing information Friday during an engagement fair about how students can get involved on campus. Lyons said the group regularly holds meetings and raises money for various causes in the Decatur community and beyond, including supporting an orphanage in Kenya. Students attending the event could learn about established organizations such as HOPE to ones just getting started, such as the Gospel Choir Group, which formed in the spring. Students with an interest in music came together and are looking to perform throughout the community, said Priscilla Palmer, the group's advisor. She said it practices for about an hour each week. I want them to run it, Palmer said. We want to reach out to the community by performing at places like nursing homes. Richland wants to help its students form groups they're most interested in participating in, said Alex Berry, coordinator of student engagement. That helps groups to thrive, he said. We want to encourage that, Berry said. Some of these groups provide an avenue to a career path. Students don't always realize what Richland can offer, Berry said. In addition to groups students can join, Richland offers services such as an on-campus fitness center, which is located in the new Workforce Development Institute. It's taken off, said Scott Broyles, the fitness center director. It's been great for students to come in and work out before or after classes or whenever fits their schedule. It's all about fitting in the time to dedicate to working out. Students should be sure to apply for financial aid, said Tricia Cordelak, Director of Scholarships and Alumni Relations. Students often don't think they qualify, Cordelak said. It's not always based just on grades. A lot of times, students are surprised. It never hurts to ask. Cordelak said the scholarship committee can often find matches to help students. And in an article out of Argenta, written by Ryan Voiles, staff writer for the Herald and Review, police bust alleged marijuana growing area. Two men are in jail after allegedly growing dozens of cannabis plants off of Interstate 72 in Argenta. Daniel Metzger, 34, and Ryan Lovett, 34, were arrested Thursday after officers reportedly witnessed them coming from the area where dozens of cannabis sativa plants were being grown. The Decatur Police Department, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and Macon County Sheriff's Office were conducting an investigation into the cultivation of cannabis sativa plants in the clearing of a wooded area between the dead end of Dantown Road and the westbound lanes of I-72 in Argenta. According to the sworn police statement, a witness had said they had seen suspicious males walking into the wooded area of the road while carrying large jugs of water. The area is private property, and the two men did not have permission to be on the property. Officers at the scene discovered 32 plants and growing equipment. Surveillance equipment was placed in the area to aid the investigation. About 5:30 p.m. Thursday afternoon, the cameras captured images of two men walking a path located near the dead end in the direction of the plants while carrying 5-gallon jugs and several 1-gallon jugs. An officer arrived at the scene later and observed a red car parked near the end of the road, then saw the two men approach the vehicle while carrying various empty jugs. The officer went back to the grow area and observed most of the potted plants were saturated with water. When pulled over at North Street, just south of Illinois 48 in Argenta, Levitt said they had just stopped at Casey's and denied being on Dantown Road. When Metzger was asked why they had come from Dantown Road, he told officers they had just come to visit a friend. Both suspects were arrested. Officers recovered more than 25 potted cannabis sativa plants from the grow area, as well as bags of potting soil, numerous empty 1-gallon jugs of water, and other items used in cultivation of cannabis sativa plants. Metzger and Levitt are in Macon County Jail on $20,000 bond each. If they are not released, they are due in court for their arraignment Friday. If they make bail, their arraignment will be September 29th. Also by Chris Lavardi, Decatur area hiring on Better Road, from Decatur. Construction was one of the sectors providing a boost in July to the Decatur area employment figures. The area's unemployment rate dropped to 7.2% in July from 8.8% a year ago, according to Illinois Department of Employment Security Statistics released on Thursday. The last time the July rate was equal to or lower was in 2008, when it was also 7.2%. Yet the Decatur area's unemployment figure remained above the statewide average of 5.9% as the total number of non-farm jobs declined by 400, said Ron Payne, a labor market analyst with the department. It's going in the right direction, Payne said. It's still a lot higher than we'd like to see it. There are good things in the works, so that's encouraging. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the August 31st, 2015 edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.